brave, who shall I be afraid? When the enemy, come on, when the enemy came to eat up my flesh, they tripped. Come on and say yes. They stumbled and fell. They tripped. In other words, when they saw how strong I was, they thought I was weak. But when they saw God in me, they tripped out. And they said, wait a minute. I can't mess with him like I thought I was. They start tripping out because they don't know what to do. Say yes. Come on, glorify him and give God praise. Come on and shout glory. The Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Anybody, everybody, shout I'm strong. Say yes. Everybody ought to shout I'm rich. How can you say you're rich? Because I got a father who owned the cattle on a thousand hills. All the silver is his. All the gold is his. Somebody shout glory and give God praise. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Say yes. Shout glory. Tell somebody. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? What will he do? Will he do it? He'll make a way where there was no way. Open doors.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Hogan Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, County, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, County, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Get your Bibles and turn them to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Reader, I want us to hear these words, and then we're going to walk through the text with the liberty of the Spirit of God to hopefully bring further illumination and understanding to this familiar text. All right, Isaiah 53, verse 5.
Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Hallelujah. Can you give him a shout this morning for that word? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What Christ did on the cross, he did for each and every one of us. And so that's why we all can shout to the glory of God. Now, to better understand this verse, we need to back up a couple verses at least to just explain verse 5 in chapter 53. Go to verse 3 and 4. Reader, would you read those very, very carefully and very slowly, please?
Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men.
He is despised and rejected of men, the same men that he came to save. He was rejected by them. Continue on.
A man of sorrow.
A man of sorrow.
And acquainted with grief.
And acquainted with grief. Now, all of these things are important for you to know, because everything that he is, he also has taken on our account and not his. Continue.
And he hid, as it were, our faces from him.
And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. In other words, we didn't want to look upon him. Okay, continue on.
He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs.
What does the word say?
Surely he hath borne our griefs.
Well, if he's borne our griefs, why are we still bearing our griefs? Continue.
And carried our sorrows.
And carried our sorrows. Now, this is interesting, because the saint, listen, may understand that grief and sorrow may come to him, but it doesn't belong to him when he or she belongs to Jesus Christ. What he's trying to make clear to us is, when the devil gave it to us, we give it to Jesus. Because he knows what to do with it, we don't. Continue.
Yet we did esteem him stricken,
mm-hmm.
smitten of God,
mm-hmm.
and afflicted.
All right. Now, all of the things then, listen at this, because it's interesting. Everything he went through and he dealt with was because of us and not because of him. But we treat him like it was his fault. Are you hearing me today? In other words, we act like we aren't grateful for what he's done. Listen, Jesus, you really didn't have to come down, because I ain't did all that much for you to have to come and die for me. For that must have been some stuff you did, because it ain't all about me here. It's about you. And that's the mentality that mankind had toward the Son of God, in the way that he came and suffered so voraciously on man's behalf. Continue.
Verse 5. But he was wounded.
All right. Thank you, right here. I'll take over from here. The word "but" is a contrasting conjunction, which means it is contrasted from the difference of what came before and what comes after. So when it says "but," it's a change now in the flow of the structure of what's being said. But he was wounded. Why? This is an open book test. But he was wounded. Why? For our transgressions. Transgressions is a big word for sin. He was wounded for our sin. You want to put it plural, sins, but sin is the very nature of sins. Sins come from sin. So in other words, when we say it in the singular form, we're talking about the totality of sin itself. When we say sins, we're talking about individual sins. But he was bruised for our what? Iniquities. But let me back up, because before I get to all of that, I want to go back and make it just a little bit clearer. But he was wounded. What does the very word wounded mean? It means that the skin is punctured and blood flows from that punctured skin. Now, because he was wounded, and he was wounded not for himself, but for us, because of our sins, then the truth of the matter is that that representation of every wound in Jesus's body was for the sin reality that we placed on him in order for us to be saved by him. We had to give to him the totality of all of our sins, which meant that when he paid the price for our sins, none of our sins could be left out in order for us to be totally redeemed. So every wound that went into his body is suggested to be of the nature of every kind of sin known to man. And they're categorized. And so one sin might be in this category, but there may be 1,000 different itemized sins in that category. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? So let's just say there weren't but 70 punctures in his body. That meant 70 different categories of sins that could represent thousands of sins within those 70 categories. So let's look at it again. He was wounded. But means, listen, all of those things we thought about him, all of those things mankind felt about him, all of those things mankind said about him, none of that mattered to him, because his purpose was to come and redeem a mankind who had messed up and slipped away from God, and therefore was not worthy to be in God's presence without the penalty payment that can only be made by Jesus Christ. So he was wounded. Do you remember when he was wounded? Well, there were three times he was wounded, and many of us don't even realize. The first time he was wounded, the Roman soldiers took what was called a thorn plant. And the thorns on this plant were between 1.5 to 2 inches long. We're not talking about rose thorns or rose bush thorns that might, you know, be a few centimeters or millimeters long and they just prick you. We're talking about a thorn, this 1.5 to 2 inches long. And they planted, or rather they platted it. But instead of them placing the thorns upwards and placing the part of the throne covering on his head where it would fit flat, they flipped it over. So where the 1.5 to 2 inch thorns, when they pressed it down on his skull, drips of blood for every thorn pricked his skull, and the blood started running down his face. That was wounds. Then they laid a cross down, and the Roman soldiers took nails and they put it in what we call his hand, but it's right at the beginning of the base of the hand where the wrist and the hand meets, the strongest part of it, and they drove nails in both hands. That's a wound if I ever saw one. Then they took his feet and did likewise with his feet. That's another wound. But then, if that weren't enough, they took a spear and pierced him in his side. And blood and water. And now I know that's a wound. So that was three times in his crucifixion experience, he was wounded. Why? For our transgressions, for our sin. It ought to make you think about it. Every time we commit sin, we ought to think about Jesus was wounded for that. That every time we sin and we mess up, something ought to go off in our brains to make us be reminded of the fact that he was punctured every time we sin. And it was represented on the cross. He was wounded for our transgression, but he was bruised for our iniquities. Now, a simple definition of iniquities is vainness, foolishness, and nothingness. He was bruised. Now, this is interesting because the word bruise conjures up in our mind, maybe like you might hit your leg up against a table or something, and you look down and you see, oh, I've got a bruise here. But that's not the bruise that this word represents. The actual meaning of this bruise literally means crushed. Crushed. But he was crushed for our vainness, our foolishness, and our nothingness. When we come on with all of this vainness, stuff that doesn't give God glory, stuff that doesn't build up the kingdom of God, things that doesn't bespeak of our witness of a worthy Savior, worthy of us representing him in the earth realm. When we come up with all this foolish talk, foolish dress, foolish actions, foolish conduct, y'all not talking to me here. When we come up with all these vain things, foolish things, things that lead up to nothing in the end, Jesus was crushed for that. The essence of his blood flowed out further because he was wounded. But just imagine, because he's wounded, listen, that didn't give the fullest outflow of the blood. But then when you crush him, in every place he was wounded, the blood gushes out. Let me give you another illustration. Have you ever peeled an orange and ate an orange slice? And you bit into that orange slice, or a grape, whichever you please. And when you bit into it, you wounded the fruit. What came out of the fruit? The juice represents the blood of Jesus when he was wounded. But now listen, just because you bit it and the juice came out, did it get all the juice out? But what happens when you started chewing it? You crushed it and all of the juice, y'all ain't talking to me today, started coming out of the fruit. You eat the grape, and when you chew it, you're steady crushing the skin and crushing all of the meat of the fruit, and it releases its juices. Well, that represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And it represents, again, the penalty payment in his blood for our sins to totally cover everything that we needed. That's right, and everyone who will come to him and accept him as Lord and Savior. And so as we begin to look at this again, our vainness, our foolishness, our nothingness caused him to be crushed for us. He never sinned. He never knew no sin. He never did any sin. And yet he paid the ultimate price for for our sin. But then the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The word chastisement means correction. It's like a mother or father chastise their children when they do wrong. The reason they chastise them is to correct them for the wrong that they are doing, so that what they are doing does not become a pattern, a way of life, a constant activity. So when they do wrong and are chastised the first time they do wrong, when they are chastised right, are they likely to do it again without remembering what has been done to them? And see, that's the problem with parents who don't chastise their children. The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. I don't care about no political correctness. Well, no, you're not supposed to. If you spank me, I'm going to call child support service. Call them. I got something for them too. Parents have a responsibility to train up their children in the way that they should go. And sometime, time out don't get it. Sometime, time out leads to jail in. You ain't got to say it, man. I know I'm right about it. Maybe our parents were a little too strict on us. But I tell you what, it yielded good fruit. They'd help you to participate in the correction. Go get your belt. Go get me a branch off the tree. Yeah, yeah. You play. Give me that bat. Sweep it. Wait a minute. Take the broom. I mean, they used what was ever available at the time of correction. If they were ironing, come here. They take the car. Don't run. Don't run. That door. If I have to run after you, it's gonna be worse. Can I talk to anybody that's had some good correction and you ain't had to go to jail? Yeah, yeah. Oh Lord, have mercy. But today's world disagrees with all of that. And that's why we don't have prayer in school. That's why our children don't respect God, nor leadership, nor authorities, because they have not been corrected properly. And the chastisement of our peace, or the correction for our peace with God, was placed on him. He took a whipping that was meant for us, so that we could go right. That he took the pain and the penalty and the suffering for all of our sins, so that we could go right, not to have a license to continue sinning, but to be grateful for what we couldn't have handled ourselves. How many of you think you could have handled what Jesus took for us and still be alive after all of that? Yeah, some of us would have not gotten past the thorn and crown pressed on our head. Let alone the nails driven in our hands and in our feet. We'd have been long, long, long given up. Couldn't have. Some of us can't handle a headache. Stump your toe, oh Jesus. Call the ambulance. And everything he went through, he did it for us. Now I want you to notice everything he went through, it was in payment for something we did. Now I want to try and correct, and I need to tread lightly here on this last portion. And with his stripes, we are healed. Because I must admit, I personally had some issues with my faith. And this is one of the reasons why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. From a younger man, I heard it preached, I heard it taught. I heard faith walkers declare and decree, by his stripes I am healed. I'm healed. Now, I was puzzled at the fact that I was a believer in Jesus Christ. I believed his word. I believed his will. I believed his way. And I believed his works. And yet, I knew many people who claimed that scripture for their physical healing who didn't get healed. And then I heard people, preachers, prophets, people of God, pretty much condemn them for not receiving their healing by saying that there must be something wrong with their faith. With their faith. And in condemning them for not being healed because their faith wasn't strong enough to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore they continued in their sickness. And I asked the Lord, help me understand this. If with his stripes we are healed. And then even when my physical challenges came, I said, God, I know I stand on your word. I know I believe in your word. I know I trust your words. And I believe that by his stripes I am healed. And the Spirit of God said, yes, you are. But I was looking for the healing in the wrong places. Now, there are some who might try to contradict what I'm saying, and you have that right to do so. But you also have to bring Bible with me to help do that. Because this stripe, let me first deal with his stripes. We are healed. The stripes, first of all, represented the strikes. The strike, every strike of the whip that hit him. 39 strikes created 39 stripes. Now, these stripes, listen, were really more like bruises. Because, let me help you understand what these strikes were like. Have you ever seen somebody with a black eye? Get punched in the eye, you might not have seen the act, but you saw the repercussions of it. That was bruised blood underneath the skin. And you could tell somebody had been hit in the eye because of the stripe or the bruise.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org.